Turns out one of the best places to be with all this news swirling around the Eagles is 3,000 miles away from Philadelphia. I've been in the Bay Area for Super Bowl 60 all week. Obviously, unlike last year, the Eagles aren't playing in the game. But they still managed to be one of the teams dominating conversation around the league. From the ambitious hiring of an unproven offensive coordinator,
the way he can diagnose and process information, his internal memory is ridiculous,
to the departure of a revered assistant.
I've been coaching for 43 years. I think the relationships with the players is probably the most fun.
And the reassuring retention of their defensive guru.
I believe in analytics, and I don't share my process with anybody, even fellow coaches.
Because I've been in the news a lot lately, especially the past 24 hours. And I've been doing the best I can to get the pulse of sources and contacts and make sense of what these different moves could mean.
I think that's a home run hire. I think it's something that probably it's going to be really good.
I'm Jeff McClain, and this is Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KOW News Radio original podcasts, with new episodes dropping throughout the offseason. Coming up, we'll find out more about new offensive coordinator Sean Mannion and the way his mind works for the people who coached him and coached with him. We'll also discuss how massive it was for Vic Fangio to come back to Philly for another year. But first, we've got to start with the somewhat unexpected departure of the Eagles' longtime offensive line coach, the beloved Jeff Stoutland. Here to sort through all of this with me is my colleague from the Inquirer, Olivia Reiner.
I would suspect I'm getting like a little bit more sleep than you are presently, and I'm also a little colder, I would venture to say, compared to what you're dealing with in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a little nicer, low 60s, and there's a lot going back there. There's a lot going on here. For both ends, I guess we can attack this Jeff Stoutland story. And, you know, I'm not entirely shocked that it came to this conclusion. You know, as I spoke about last week on the podcast with Mike Silver, you know, Jeff Stoutland, you know, his role had changed kind of midseason in terms of the run game coordinator stuff. He wasn't doing as much of it. It was unlikely to do it moving forward with the new scheme, the new hire, offensive coordinator. And, you know, I think essentially what happened here is that Jeff, you know, had these meetings with the Eagles and decided, from what I understand, it was his decision alone that he no longer wants to coach for the Eagles. And they wanted him to coach, but they wanted him to return as offensive line coach. Now, I think he probably still technically would have had the title because of his contract, but he was not going to be overseeing the run game. And we now find out they moved very quickly in hiring someone to replace him. You reported that today. Ryan Mahaffey will be the run game coordinator and also slash tight ends coach, which means that Jason Michael is out. But before we kind of really dive into this Jeff Stoutland story, you know, first off, what is your kind of initial takeaway when you heard it? And, you know, what do you think will happen with the offensive line moving forward?
Yeah, I think to echo what you said, not necessarily a surprise, especially considering the fact we knew that this Eagles offense was going to change to some extent under Sean Mannion now as offensive coordinator. I guess the question that we all had was, okay, how much is this offense realistically going to change? We've seen in the past, you know, thinking back to 2024 when Kellen Moore was hired as offensive coordinator, the most really like the only offensive coordinator who didn't have a connection to Nick Sirianni. We didn't see this like overwhelming overhaul of the Eagles offense. We didn't see this overwhelming overhaul of the Eagles offensive staff. So I think there was reason to be skeptical about how much leeway Mannion was going to have to truly overhaul the offense. And granted, we still don't know. But what we do know now is that there are going to be some offensive changes at the very least to the staff, which signals that there is going to be a change in offensive scheme to some extent, given the fact that Stoutland doesn't have a history in the Shanahan-McVay offense. It kind of signals that that is the direction that the Eagles offense is going to go into as Mannion gets comfortable here and gets acclimated here. So I'm curious to see, of course, how this offense is going to come together, but clearly Stoutland is not going to be a part of it, at the very least as offensive line coach or run game coordinator, which I think makes sense from the standpoint, you know, that they're going to change the offense. To me, what doesn't entirely make sense is how this was handled and the fact that Statlin kind of chose to leave on his own terms and couldn't, I guess, be involved in any sort of way, or, you know, just kind of how this past season was handled. That to me seems like it was a little bit messy, which is surprising. What did you, especially like just kind of the way that Statlin is leaving, what did you make of all of this?
Yeah, it's messy. And you know, the most obvious way that is messy, at least that I could put forward, is that, you know, the Eagles and Statlin had kind of agreed to release statements at the same time, and he jumped the gun before that happened, and he issued his own tweet saying that, you know, that he was out. So I think he wanted to make it very clear in doing so, by doing that, that he wasn't on the same page as the Eagles. And yeah, I mean, there's just no secret here that it had gotten kind of stale to some extent, and the relationship started to be a little bit fractured this season when, you know, I don't know the exact time, I guess would be after that week six, that mini bye, when you started seeing more, you know, the under center stuff, you started seeing more 6-0 linemen. Not that they haven't done that stuff before, not that Jeff Statlin can't coach that stuff up, but I think that, you know, that meant that Nick and Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, wanted to kind of do a little more of this. And when you're trying to marry under center stuff, you're trying to marry the, you know, the pass with the run, you're not going to get to the stuff that Statlin has really kind of coached up, the way that his blocking schemes, obviously that inside zone. You know, they wanted to do a little more outside stuff. They did that in that Giants game. If you recall, that was probably the best the run game had looked all season. And they felt, okay, you know, we got something here. Let's do more of that. And I think that's pretty much when, you know, there's, you know, it wasn't like a cut and dry thing. And I think other people had taken my initial report that he was demoted. It wasn't like he was demoted. He just wasn't doing as much. And this happens, you know, a lot. But to happen to, you know, one of the most esteemed offensive line coaches and the run game coordinator, you know, the things, you know, look at the run game over the years, and it's just been a steady stream of success to, you know, three different coaching, you know, tenures with Chip Kelly and Doug Peterson and now Nick Sirianni, you know, and Statlin's been kind of at the center of that all. Now, look, you know, he isn't chiefly responsible for that. A lot of it has to do with the talent that they've acquired, the coaches at the helm. But, you know, I think Statlin, you know, felt like he had earned the right to kind of keep being in charge of that. And if you look at the success that they've had in doing so, maybe, you know, you felt like, okay, we can get this thing going, or, you know, and they've, you know, let's step back and look at it. I mean, there was maybe a little improvement aside from that Giants game, but marginal. It wasn't like it really got a lot better. And I'm not saying that that's all on Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo, as we've pointed out before. A lot of it has to do with the fact that Jalen Hurts wasn't running as much and probably didn't want to run as much. And all the other issues that we have chronicled here about the offensive line and the injuries that they've had, and those guys weren't playing better. This is what I will say, too, as well. I mean, I know there was an ESPN report from Tim McManus that Jeff Statlin was frustrated with all this. Yeah, I mean, I certainly confirm that. But I think there were also, in turn, frustrations from the Eagles. And not only from the coaches, but from what I understand, some of the players. And you know, you get that from time to time, players with coaches. But this is the first time that I kind of started getting the murmurs about some frustration with Stout this year. And I think the players, the offensive linemen, wanted more under center stuff too, because it makes it really easier on them. And so I think there was just that conflict there, and it was kind of boiling, and it got to that point. Now, that being said, I don't think any of the offensive linemen wanted Statlin out, right? You know, I ran into to three of them, four of the five that were on the offensive line in the 2022 Super Bowl last night at the New Heights Super Bowl party. Jason Kelce, of course, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, and Landon Dickerson. What I can say is that they're all healthy and fine. You know, as a social event, I'll keep that pretty much, you know, to myself in terms of those conversations. But they're here. Hopefully I'll bump into them and can get them on the record to speak about what happened there as well. What about the, you know, his legacy, real quick? I do think, you know, maybe there'll be another time for that, but how are they going to replace him?
Yeah, I think you can probably replace him in title, and Eagles have already started to do that, at least in part, in hiring a new run game coordinator. But to replace him in human being and in presence, in just like his ability to develop players and to be able to pluck players like Jordan Mailata out of obscurity and to help develop them. And granted, Jordan deserves a lot of credit for his own development, but at the end of the day, Statland also taught him and empowered him to develop into the player that he is today. You know, those coaches don't just grow on trees, and they certainly, it takes time to be able to grow into that stature and to earn that kind of respect from the players. So I think that in and of itself, like, I don't know how you replace that. I don't want to say impossible, but it's certainly difficult. And at the same time, I think things can be true that, like, the offense needs to evolve. The offense needs to change. And I don't think it's necessarily wrong to want change at the position, but to lose that influence entirely, I think that would be tough, I think, for the Eagles to stomach, especially, you know, just given how the relationship soured there too. I don't think that can make Eagles fans feel very good, but I see this as a loss, but I also see this for the Eagles, but I also see this as an opportunity to grow and to evolve the offense, which is something that I think most people would agree that the Eagles needed to do at the end of, you know, coming off of that season.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's their team. It's Nick Sirianni's, it's his team, his offense, and, you know, they feel it's necessary. Yeah, Evolve is you used it, and Nick Sirianni used it, and, you know, a lot of it has to do with the quarterback, a lot of it. And, you know, they're basically signaling to not only Jeff Statland and the coaches, and we've now seen it, you know, with Mahaffey coming in, that Jason Michaels will be out as tight end coach. It looks like Scott Loeffler, quarterback's coach, will be out. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Moorhead, the wide receivers coach, doesn't come back either. But it's like, hey, get on board, or we're moving along. And that's, you know, that's not just the coaches, but that's going to be Jalen Hurts, and that's going to be a lot of the other players as well. And and with Statland, you know, I wonder, you know, at his age, 64, he's done it his way for so long, and there would have been a complete change, not a complete change, but a drastic change in terms of the blocking structures and the way they do things in that Shanahan scheme. That Shanahan, McVay scheme, you know, this is something that he wanted to do at this stage of his career. And you know, the Eagles have said that they want him to be still around the team and kind of like as a advisor, kind of senior mentor. And I'm not sure if that's what Statland wants to do. Maybe he takes steps back, talks to his family. He's had some. Health issues that have gone public at times. Remember the one time he had to leave the game in New York. And so, you know, I'm sure his family wants him to kind of, you know, get that all figured out as well. But, you know, it sounds like a lot of people think that he could be following Frank Reich, who just became the offensive coordinator of the Jets, back to his hometown of New York. So it would be kind of coming full circle for Statland. But you can be certain, any team that needs an offensive line coach, and maybe some that already have them, they're going to be coming after this guy. I mean, they're going to want to bring Jeff Statland in. I mean, look at his record. I don't know if there's many guys, offensive line coaches, that can point to three surefire Hall of Famers that have worked under him. Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, and Lane Johnson. All those guys are going to eventually be in Canton. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that Jordan Mailata at some point, he certainly has the talent, could be that, to play to that level as well. I mean, that's got to be unprecedented. You know, Howard Mudd was a kind of a, you know, legendary offensive line coach, and he coached Walter Johnson, and he'll get some credit for Jason Peters. He obviously preceded Jeff Statland, and there have been other guys, but Statland's been a lot, you know, been the guy. And I'm not saying he's perfect. You know, we saw this past year, I think he has to look in the mirror as well. And I think he would say that, you know, he is responsible for, you know, some of the regression up, you know, front, but the injuries, as we talked about, the Landon Dickerson and Lane Johnson and, you know, Cam Jurgens. And I think Jordan Mailata to some extent really made it hard on everybody on the offensive side of the ball. Now, in terms of Lane and his future, here's what I can say. He's definitely not sure if he's coming back or not. Is the impression that I get. And you would think that maybe this would make it a little less likely. Does he want to have to, you know, kind of not start all over? I mean, with Lane Johnson, just kind of put him out there on the island. It doesn't, you know, I don't think that's a huge thing. And I think he may kind of embrace the changes that are going to be made in terms of the run blocking. But it could take, you know, the Eagles. It could take the Eagles basically, you know, showing them how much he means to them for him to be back for another season. And, you know, I think he's kind of earned that right. And look, they would be up Schitt's Creek without him, I think. You know, like, this is, again, another Hall of Famer, surefire Hall of Famer. And I know that, you know, the injuries are a concern. I know he's working really hard to get that foot back to 100%. He's not stopping his rehab. He's not stopping all the crazy workouts that Lane does. So, I keep leaning that he will be back for a last season. Landon Dickerson, maybe even more of a question mark to me.
I guess my question, kind of to follow up with you, is like, so is it, it's not as much of an injury health thing for Lane as it is a getting on board with the direction of the offense thing?
No, I think it's like, do they want to do this again? Ultimately, I think when you're looking at retirement, it's just like, okay, can I just go through, you know, can my body do it again? Do I want to do it again? Lane has a very high standard for himself. He wants to be known as the best or the best ever or the best that are currently playing. So understandably so. So it's like, can I still do it? And, you know, is it worth it with all the changes, I guess, is probably how, I don't know that for certain about the changes. I haven't talked to him about that specifically. Yeah, you know, they need him. I don't know who they'll have, you know, obviously they're going to have to address the offensive line in the draft early. I think whether Lane comes back or not, they need a succession plan. My guess, if it gunned to my head, I think Lane could be compelled to come back. And, you know, that's a little bit of an easy transition here, because I feel like that's sort of what happened with Vic Fangio. He needed to be convinced to come back and not retire. I was able to cut with Finality's report last night that yes, Vic is definitely coming back. I think it's something that he's been waffling on. He's been thinking about it, as he said before, that he would, it's a kind of a year to year thing. Last year he was telling people in the building that he's retiring, and they kind of just like rolled their eyes. I'm just saying that figuratively. And they thought that eventually he'd be back. And, you know, this time though, it kind of like, he, from what I understand, last week it was like, he's retiring. I mean, like, you know, and the Eagles were like, you know, oh boy. And that's when they reached out to Jonathan Gannon. That's when the whole kind of thing with Jim Schwartz started, and Schwartz was, contacting them. Schwartz, who didn't get the head coaching job in Cleveland, who's now kind of uncertain whether he'll be the defensive coordinator there. So, you know, look, Vic, and it was kind of out there. I kind of wanted to be respectful to Vic. If he wants to retire, I think he should be the one to announce his retirement. That being said, there had been a report about the Eagles reaching out to Gannon and Schwartz. So I kind of felt obligated to like bring people up to speed about where this thing stands. And at that point, you know, he had told them that he wasn't going to retire, but like kind of there was like still ambiguous about whether, you know, he could change his mind. I think he was just not 100% committed to it. And my guess, maybe some of that had to do with some sort of negotiation that was going on internally. But you know, in light of the Jess Stoutland news, I'm sure the Eagles were happy to have some positive news that Vic Fangio was back. What does that mean, number one, that Fangio is coming back?
I think it's great news. It offers some stability to a team right now that is undergoing quite a bit of change, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But to envision a team going through coordinator changes on both sides, I think that is for a team that has its Super Bowl window open right now, to have to go through that on both offense and defense would be really challenging. It's going to be challenging as it is, but to not have to worry so much about the defensive side of the ball, I think, is a real benefit to the Eagles. It also, like, in terms of their options of replacing him, I mean, kind of like, you know, I don't want to make too many comparisons here because it's like apples and oranges, but like Vic Fangio is like, he has a Jeff Stoutland-esque stature and legacy, even though Fangio hasn't been here nearly as long, but certainly throughout his coaching career. And to lose him and Lou Stoutland, and there's this looming threat and, or question, at least, is Lane Johnson going to be back to like have to stomach all of these losses in the same offseason while the team is still trying to be competitive? That's like, that's a lot. And then to have to identify someone to replace Fangio after the team lost Christian Parker to the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator job. Certainly that there are some maybe other internal candidates had Fangio decided to leave, with Clint Hurt staying. I know he had interviewed for the Dolphins defensive coordinator vacancy earlier in the off season. And as you mentioned, the two external potential candidates. I think it gives the Eagles a little bit of a peace of mind, stability, and continuity on, you know, an ever-changing team.
Yeah. You know, look, from what I understand, like it was kind of, there was a question about Vic last year. So like it's a year-to-year thing. You're always wondering it. And I kind of had heard that there's probably a little more of a possibility this year. And I'd asked N'Kobe Dean right after the season, and he even kind of said it to me, and I was like, oh, I got to follow up on this. So like you heard it. I understand, like, you know, Christian Parker obviously knew what was going on. They're very close. And he went to the Eagles and like, hey, I'm getting these opportunities. I'm getting these interviews. I'm having this opportunity, you know, let's get some finality here. So, you know, if you want to keep me, this is your opportunity to keep me. And I don't know if they could have given him like a senior defensive assistant role, to kind of like have a succession plan. And I don't know if that's what he would have wanted. But they did allow him to leave. They would have had the opportunity to do that. My guess is they just always felt like in their heart, knowing Vic, that he would be back. You know, that they did promote, is it Joe Casper, from safeties coach to he'll now oversee the entire defensive backs unit. So they had someone internally that they could succeed into that spot. It sounds like most of the other defensive coaches are coming back. Clint Hurt is imperative to have in terms of like all those guys in that room. And as you said, to have somebody potentially in-house, he would be the obvious guy, I think, to succeed him. Look, you know, I think Vic's earned the right to maybe kind of waffle, or, you know, maybe have this play out publicly. I'm sure he probably didn't want that, but it so many people had known in the building and around the league that it was sure to get out. And, you know, I think Vic has a little fun with it too. I, you know, like knowing the kind of power that he has, and maybe wants to feel the love, have his ego stroked a little bit. And I say that like with mass amounts of respect, you know, because, you know, Vic is certainly one of the best defensive coaches of the last 25 years. There isn't another scheme on that side of the ball that has been as copied. You know, if you look at the offensive side, everyone talks about Shanahan, McVay. To me, defensively, it's been Fangio. And probably there'll probably be an argument at some point whether he belongs in the you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame or not. But everyone can rest assured. Everyone can kind of breathe a sigh of relief in Eagles land. Vic Fangio will be back. Of course, what this does do is it more than anything puts an expiration date on his career, and whether he'll, you know, how much longer he's going to be defensive coordinator. I mean, and that's sometimes, you know, you don't want that out there. You don't want to have, like, I'm not saying he's a lame duck, but you don't want to have a definitive time stamp on something to some extent. So that'll be something that'll kind of like hang over the team a little bit. But I imagine that Fangio in his way, in his curmudgeonly straightforward way, will be able to kind of like, first time we get him, he'll just be like, yeah, whatever. I think about it every year. I'm coming back. I don't know if I am next year, and let's move on. And then we'll all kind of like accept it, right? You know how Vic works.
Yeah, he's very direct. He's very blunt. And I think that is something that I'm sure Eagles fans have come to appreciate. I know we have all come to appreciate. He does not tiptoe. He cannot be told what to say, perhaps to some extent. He just says it and tells it like it is, which I appreciate. One other thing I'll say is that it was funny, and not to, I guess we can eventually transition into Sean Mannion here, but when the Eagles were in the interview process for their next offensive coordinator, one of the things that I had, you know, kept seeing, and something I had kind of wrote about too, as I was doing my like step-by-step guide checklist for the off season last week, was like this desire for the Eagles to hire an offensive coordinator who was like the Vic Fangio equivalent, who didn't have this like aspiration of becoming a head coach again. But the flip side to that is that you're also, you might be looking for someone who's a few years away from retirement. Ultimately, that wasn't the path that the Eagles went down, nor should it have been. I don't think they should have just looked for the guy who had the biggest, the most longevity at the position. They're trying to win now. It doesn't, you know, I mean, the long term matters too. But yeah, just kind of an interesting contrast in the conversations that we've been having at offensive coordinator over the last couple weeks too.
We've talked for about 20 minutes or so and still haven't gotten to the topic we originally planned for this podcast to be about, new offensive coordinator Sean Mannion. Stay tuned. That's coming up next.
Philly sports fans, we get the obsession. We know you need more than the score and the stats. You need coverage that gives you the home field advantage. You need Inquire Sports. Whatever your game, we're on it, with round-the-clock updates and all the insider info. Why? Because we share the obsession, and we bleed Philly, just like you. Get your Philly sports fix at inquire.com/sports. Your home field advantage for all things Philly sports.
Hey, this is Brian Seltzer. I love producing Uncovering the Birds and working with Jeff, just like I love working on the other podcasts we make at KYW News Radio in Philadelphia. Each week, you got to check out the award-winning The Week in Philly. It's pretty self-explanatory. There's so much going on in a multifaceted city like Philadelphia that we put together a pod each week that looks back and ahead with the best reporting insights and perspectives from the KYW newsroom. We've also got Gone Cold, exploring unsolved murders in the city. Gone Cold team published a powerful mini-series called Ricochet that examines all the angles of the city's gun crisis. Bridging Philly brings you stories that connect communities with stories that matter most to you, and One-on-One has great conversations with people in sports you absolutely should know more about. Give the full slate of KYW News Radio original podcasts a listen. Download the free Odyssey app, follow KYW News Radio for Philly's best original podcasts right at your fingertips.
I'm Jeff McClain, and this is Uncovering the Birds. Before I bring Olivia Reiner back on, I want to play a quick interview I had with Clint Kubiak. He's the Seahawks offensive coordinator, and I caught up with him out here at the Super Bowl to ask him about his experience with Sean Mannion. The two crossed paths in Minnesota when Kubiak was coaching there, and Mannion was a backup quarterback.
Sean's a really bright guy, but he's extremely hardworking. He just understands football at a whole another level. You know, he was trained by Sean McVay early. He had really great coaching at Oregon State. He was our backup quarterback. He was always the guy that was bringing great things up in our game planning process that helped us make plays better or get rid of bad plays. So he just understands the whole picture. He's extremely humble and hardworking. So he's a guy that I've always been a huge fan.
Did you identify then that he'd be a future coach? I mean, like, and what are the traits that make you think, you know, that's something that he would eventually become?
Yeah, we always knew that someday when Sean was done playing, we all would want to hire him on our coaching staff. And it's no surprise to me that he's getting this opportunity in Philadelphia. When you think about, like, why could this guy be a great coach? Yeah, he's smart, but he's genuine. He's 100% himself. He knows how to communicate his ideas really clearly. He knows how to relate to all players on the roster. So I think that's what good coaches do, is, you know, they try to bring out the best in everyone. Sean has those tools.
Is there something about your time with him that made you think that, okay, because he's never called plays before, obviously, he's only been coaching for 2 years, that would, you know, or is just when you are a quarterback, it's inherent in you?
Well, everyone has to have a chance, you know, like, everyone's got to start somewhere, and Sean's gonna do a great job. You know, you learn on the job. But when you're a quarterback and you're, well, like he's been, all you do is call plays every day. You know, you got to get it from the coach. Sometimes the coach screws it up and you got to fix it, and it's not your fault, but it is your problem. So Sean will have no problem calling plays.
Okay, last one. You know, you got to have a thick skin to play, you know, in Philly in general, but just also be the offensive coordinator of an offensive-minded head coach. You know, as a West Coast guy, does he have thick skin?
Yeah. anytime you're in that role, you don't do it by yourself. It's all about, you know, having a great staff with you. So yeah, the best offense, one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. You know, they brought the coach from Tampa.
Yep.
With him.
Yep.
So
Josh.
Nick is an offensive coach. So they're great staffs. They do it together. One guy has his name on the job, but when I'm calling a game, well, there's five other assistants talking to me on each play.
All right, so that's a little insight on Sean Mannion, the Eagles' new 33-year-old offensive coordinator. Let's welcome back Olivia Reiner. We haven't talked about Mannion specifically. We did a little bit in the last podcast I did with Sean Mannion when we knew he was a candidate and they had two interviews, and young guy, 33 years old, 2 years only of coaching, offensive assistant, then became quarterback's coach with the Green Bay Packers. This is a huge leap for him. Played in the Sean McVay scheme when he was with the Rams, kind of bumped around back and forth with the Seahawks and Vikings under a lot of guys who come from that Shanahan McVay tree, and then went to Green Bay and worked under Matt LaFleur, and has been credited with really helping Jordan Love become a better pocket passer. The same could be said for Malik Willis, the backup quarterback. When he got in there this past year, he looked like he had completely different. And this is a guy in Tennessee that just, you know, and coming out of college, no one thought that he could be a pocket quarterback or do some of the stuff in terms of the passing game in the league that you need to do. And I think that's going to be kind of, you know, what's going to happen here with Jalen Hurts. Like, this is the plan. They're going to want to kind of take Jalen Hurts and take him to this next step in his evolution as a quarterback and the evolution of this offense. And so you're going to see a lot more under center. You're going to see play action. You're going to see, in terms of the run game, more outside zone, more middle field throws, you know, more over routes, more more variety, more diversity, more motion at the snap. And motion at the snap. The motion was a huge thing with this team. It's just not being able to do a lot of it. And some of that, I think, has to do with the quarterback and the scheme. But some has to do with the scheme. I think some has to do with Jeff Statlin as well. And as I said before, it's like get on or get off. And Olivia, I'm also interested to hear what you have to think about Sean Mannion. And when you heard the hiring, you covered the Packers. You probably have some friends there that probably told you a little bit about him, or at least, you know, in the 2 years that he was there.
Yeah, I have, you know, talked to some friends over there and people covering the team. And yes, this is someone who I think is viewed as a coach who could very quickly or soon become an NFL head coach. And so the Eagles are getting in early here with Mannion and naming him their offensive coordinator. Even though he hasn't had the experience calling plays. Grant, of course, this is like a very rapid rise. This is a very quick rise up the coaching ranks, having just been an offensive assistant in 2024, having just retired from playing in 2023 after a 9-year career in the NFL as a backup quarterback. But something, you know, even just listening to him talk about his career, in a press conference from last year, just kind of talking about how he always had his eye on the horizon of wanting to become a coach and weaponizing, as he said, his playing career with the idea that eventually he would become or would attempt to become an NFL head coach. So, you know, talking to guys like Matt LaFleur about, you know, making that transition as he got later into his career, which ultimately was the reason why the Packers were able to hire him. He had been interviewing at the Chicago Bears, and the Packers ultimately swooped in and scooped him up. So I think it made sense from the Eagles' standpoint once the Mike McDaniels of the world and the Brian Daboles ended up taking offensive coordinator jobs elsewhere, guys who have a lot of play calling experience, who have some touch points, especially in Daboles' case with the Eagles, but McDaniels and, you know, having been part of the Shanahan tree, I think it made sense to kind of go to the next tier of looking for a young offensive mind and trying to parlay that intelligence into an offensive play caller role, even if it meant that it was the first time for someone like Mannion. So I wouldn't call it surprising. But it is certainly notable that he is making this big jump. There's a lot of questions about how he's going to handle this new role because he simply hasn't done it before. There's a lot of questions about what this offense is going to look like. I think we can kind of look to the past and look to his influences to best inform what the future is going to look like. And as you said, he has both coached with and played for members of the Shanahan tree. And, you know, McVay obviously being the big one that he played for early on in his career with the Rams. I think that is a good place to start as we try to start to piece together what the Mannion experience is going to look like.
Again, everything that we're seeing is suggesting that I don't know if he's going to have like autonomy like Vic Fangio does over the defense, but certainly, I mean, he's going to be given a lot of freedom to change this offense. And I think that's certainly Nick looking at his role in what has happened to the offense, but also it's just kind of an acknowledgement that that Jalen Hurts needs to evolve as well. And I get it. In Philadelphia, you're going to blame the coaches more than you are the players for what happened this past year, and especially one, you know, who won, that was an MVP in the Super Bowl. I think people seem to forget that Nick won a Super Bowl as well, and had a lot to do with that success as well. It's just those narratives are just kind of sometimes they just get too askew, and it just, I don't want to spend too much time trying to correct them. Because everyone's like, oh, well, whatever, keep Nick out of the offense, you know, and it's just like, he's the head coach. He has his hands on, fingerprints on everything, at least in terms of like what he wants. I'm not saying he's putting together the game plan on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, that's kind of his role there, to kind of oversee all that and to kind of guide it. And I think he's going to be a guiding factor is what I probably, the best way to maybe describe it here. And it's not like he doesn't know how to do this stuff or didn't want to do some of this stuff. I just think that personnel, they had success doing it another way. Great success. They went to the Super Bowl two times. They won it once. I mean, like, and I think that's kind of just real quick to get back to Jeff Stoutland. Like, that's probably what Stoutland feels like. And that's probably maybe what Jalen Hurts has felt like over the year. You know, when we've been great at doing this, no one could stop us. Why are we going to change? But I think in the league, it just doesn't take defenses long to figure things out and to kind of catch up to whatever it is you may have been doing that gave you so much success. And we've seen that now coming off the 2022 Super Bowl and coming off, you know, the 2024 Super Bowl. And that's what they're going to move in this direction. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to two coaches that had worked with him as a player in Seattle. Clint Kubiak, I mentioned earlier, offensive coordinator. He was a quarterback's coach first for Mannion, and then the offensive coordinator, and Andrew Janoco was his quarterback's coach. And I think it was 2021. And, you know, they had, obviously, they love this guy. I'm pretty sure Clint Kubiak is going to become the Las Vegas Raiders head coach. I'm pretty sure that he would have tried to hire him as his offensive coordinator if the Eagles didn't beat him to it. Unless he had him already lined up, and I'm not sure if that was the case. Either way, you know, the one takeaway was just like, they talk about his memory. He's got like completely ridiculous recall. And you know, you hear that a lot about coaches, and everyone always touts Sean McVay. And sometimes I think that is performative. But, you know, Janoco had spoke about this game that he used to play with the quarterbacks called Stumpy, where they would kind of start. He would ask them a question about a particular play from a play sheet in the past, et cetera, or maybe for that week. And Sean would always be the first to complete it and have all the detail. And so they said he was always the champion of that. And I spoke to Drew Locke as well. He was, I think Mannion was the number three quarterback when he was the number two quarterback. And if you guys, Olivia, I think your first year in the beat was 2023 Seattle when Drew Locke beat the Eagles. And he talked to me about how the way that Mannion had coached him up before that game. He said, that's when I knew that this guy was going to be a future head coach. He all of a sudden, he wasn't just my, you know, the quarterback in the quarterback room and the guy behind me in case I got hurt. He was like my coach out there and the coach and kind of getting me prepared for that moment. And Locke played well in the Eagles and beat the Eagles. You spoke to somebody as well about Mannion. What did you learn?
Yeah, I talked to Sean Clifford, the former Penn State quarterback, former Green Bay Packers quarterback, who was coached by Mannion for a little over a year. Clifford was drafted in 2023 and Mannion came in 2024. And then Clifford was eventually cut, didn't make the team out of training camp in 2025. So he was with Mannion in that summer, off-season program time when Mannion had stepped into the quarterback's coach role, assuming the job from Tom Clements, who had been there for 14 seasons, coached all three like generations of Green Bay Packers quarterbacks in Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love. So to have and Mannion was someone who was handpicked by Clements to succeed him in Green Bay. So I think that I think that says a lot about how Clements viewed Mannion. Mannion, of course, learned a lot about coaching the position from Clements, especially like the word that Clifford used with me when it came to like describing Clements was just like his consistency and his approach to preparation throughout the week. But Mannion was able to kind of take what he learned from Clements, but also and infuse it with who he is as a person and his playing experience. I think that was something that we kept coming back to in our conversation, was just how his experience and tenure as a player in the NFL really informs the way that he coaches. And he understands what these quarterbacks are going through. He understands the why behind the decisions that need to be made, and knows how to give real-time feedback because he is able to put himself in their shoes. And that was something that Clifford really appreciated. He also appreciated that it wasn't just about getting Jordan Love ready every Sunday. It was also about getting the rest of the room better as well. And I think that you saw Malik Willis, when it was his turn to step in, when Love was dealing with some injuries during the season last year, you saw that Willis was prepared, and Clifford attributed a lot of his growth, Willis's growth, to Mannion and what he was able to do with him, even though at the time Clifford wasn't on the team. He's now with the Bengals. So I think having that playing experience, when you put this in the context of the Eagles, I think that is going, it should help as far as Mannion being able to relate to the players, being able to relate to Jalen Hurts, and to be able to establish some credibility, I would think, with the players, because that always like kind of seems to be the question is like, okay, like does this person have the like the presence, the credibility, to be able to tell these players what to do and what to say, or not what to say, but you know, just how to run the offense. And just given the fact that he has this playing experience, I think will ultimately go a decent way here in Philly. So I'm curious to see how he is able to take the experiences that he had in Green Bay and apply it going forward. So as far as like that was what Clifford and I spoke about in terms of Mannion and him, like just his approach as a coach. And we also talked a little bit about what he thinks that the offensive scheme is going to look like. And I guess just to boil it down, like he would think that it is going to have some sort of Shanahan influence. So that's not necessarily a shock.
Yeah, I think you could look at the age thing as like a good thing. You could look at it as a potentially bad thing. I know that there are people in the building that are kind of a little concerned about the age thing in terms of like Jalen being able to overpower him as he did. You know, I wouldn't, Petullo isn't young, but I think it's with Brian Johnson. Certainly there was that. Kellen Moore was young, but he kind of was, in his own way, was able to kind of just like not kind of like to kind of tune out. I wouldn't say tune out Jalen, but just be like, hey, this is what we're doing, and not kind of open up the forum, from what I understand. But, you know, when you mentioned Tom Clements, I thought maybe they're going to be able to lure him out of maybe Sean could lure him out of retirement, because, again, he's the type of guy that has that gravitas, that has the experience that maybe like Jalen would kind of like, you know, hut to and listen to and look at this guy as a kind of like a sage in terms of making him a better quarterback. I the name is already out there, but Greg Olsen is someone the Eagles are definitely keying on. Olsen had been Sean Mannion's quarterback coach when he was with the Rams. He was his quarterback coach when he was with Seattle in 2023. He's been 62-year-old. He's been around a long time, most recently with the Raiders. And he hasn't always had the greatest of quarterbacks to work with, but he has gotten some guys to play better over the course of his career. He has offensive coordinator experience. I would not be surprised to see him be the guy. Other changes are in store here. Potentially, we mentioned before, the wide receivers coach with Aaron Moorhead, who I think has done a nice job and was one of the few guys that was able to kind of jump over from the Doug Peterson coaching staff and make a case to Nick Sirianni that he was good enough to stay. I know the receivers like him, but they may be looking for some sort of change in that regard. The last thing I want to talk about, though, is just, you know, what this all has said about Nick Sirianni. You know, it's like, you know, we talked a little bit about who was leading the coaching search, the OC search, and Nick was technically, but I mean, don't be for mistaking that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman were very involved, especially Howie, in who they ultimately decide. We didn't talk about past game coordinator Josh Grichard, who was hired essentially that day or almost like right after Sean Mannion. And this was someone that also interviewed twice for that job. And it makes you wonder, I don't think they ever crossed over. My guess is that this was like an organizational type of hire and not Sean Mannion's hire. And typically you want to give your offensive coordinator that kind of sway. So there's a little bit of that that could be potentially a concern. Someone that does have play calling experience, you know, do you want him hanging over Sean Mannion? Is he their break glass of in case emergency guy? But, you know, you kind of have to understand it, too, because Sean Mannion's never called plays before. Now, you could also be getting two guys from, you know, Grizzard comes from that, has coached in that Shanahan McVay scheme as well. The two guys working together to make this offense, this beacon of efficiency in Philadelphia. I think the other thing they're doing in hiring Josh Grizzard is preparing for maybe perhaps the eventuality that Sean Mannion, with very little success, could be snatched up and become a head coach right away. This way you have someone in-house potentially to replace him. And that's been an issue, as we've seen before, that they just haven't been able to, when these guys have left, when Shane Steichen left and when Kellen Moore left, they just weren't able to kind of in-house replace them with successors that had as much success. So I think that's what kind of is happening in here. But in terms of Nick, someone asked me last night, you know, because I had sent the message when he hired Sean Mannion, I sent the message to a longtime NFL person, and they said, "What's to say about Nick?" And I kind of joked. I said, "Well, they're just giving him enough rope to hang himself," meaning that Jeff and Howie, they are allowing him to do everything and. You know, however reckless it may seem to those on the outside, so that'd be easier to cut them if things don't work out. Being a little cynical there, but I think Nick is very much, I'm not going to say on the hot seat, but his standing is just nowhere near as strong as it was heading into last year, obviously. But like even coming off 2023, when Jeff considered the idea of firing him, and then when he did, when they started 2-2 at the beginning of the 2024 season, when Jeff thought about it during that mini bye or that bye week.
Yeah, I think that if this goes very well, then it's going to reflect well on Nick, especially just given the fact that I think at long last, it seems like this offense is evolving a little bit more away from him. And I understand that he will still likely have his fingerprints on the offense, and to an extent he deserves to have some influence over the offense too, as to your point, like he deserves the blame when things don't go bad, and he deserves credit when things go well. And for some reason it seems like Nick only gets the blame and he doesn't get any of the credit. But no, I think there's pressure for this to work. This is an important hire and an important test for an Eagles offense that is trying to win now. And yeah, if it doesn't go well, it would be surprising to me if he had like a long leash, just especially given the way things went last season with an internal promotion and internal hire at the offensive coordinator position in Kevin Petullo. And I know we've talked about this, not everything is on Petullo, but at the end of the day, this is a results-based business, and Nick Sirianni is overseeing those results. So I think the pressure is certainly on for him, for this team to fare much better, especially offensively, than it did last season.
Well, Olivia, I thank you for taking time out of going outside in the bitter cold of Philadelphia. I am going to be heading out into the sunshine, 65-degree sunshine of San Francisco in a moment. Thank you, Olivia, very much for joining us. Please, everybody, read all of Olivia's work at Inquirer.com.
Thanks, Jeff.
This has been Uncovering the Birds. a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KOW News Radio original podcasts. Our producer is KOW News Radio's Brian Seltzer. Tom Rickert is KOW News Radio's Director of Podcasting. The executive producer from the Philadelphia Inquirer is Renee Eiffel. If you're enjoying Uncovering the Birds, leave us a rating and a review. Listen to Uncovering the Birds free on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your podcasts, or go to inquirer.com/podcasts. I'm Jeff McLean. You can follow me on X, Blue Sky, or Threads @Jeff_McLean, or search my name on any social media platform. Thanks for listening.